Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co.
Well, hello, everyone. My name is Rakari Austin, and I'm one of the hosts of GCX 2022. That's right. We're already talking about next year. Now, we want you to join us at Rosen Shingle Creek in Orlando, Florida, as we come together for another unforgettable GCX. Tickets are going fast, and look, we want to see you. So visit gcxevent.com/tickets to book now.
As the seasons change, so do our selections. The seasonal selections from King's Coast Coffee Company are custom roast sourced and selected to pair with the changing of the seasons. We take the time to source and pair up coffees that reflect the current season and are roasted to highlight tasting notes that pair with the season on hand. Here for a while, then making way into the next, this is a great roast to try on its own or make any coffee subscriber happy. Hey guys, welcome into episode 24 of Coffee and Chill. I'm your host, No Sleeves, joined by my co-host as always, Kesso. Today's episode, we are going to discuss the new Hockey Ultimate Team event, give our rankings. We're also going to touch on GWC as it does start. The open qualifiers do start this Wednesday. We'll go over that. We'll talk about some custom skating, Kesso. But as always, we are going to start with our lives because that is the real reason we do this podcast, so that we can get people to just listen to what we're doing on a day-to-day basis. So tell me, what did you do this weekend, my man?
Dude, so actually just in general, something I told you a few weeks ago and then I shared with the community this week, I'm having a baby in September, my wife and I, expecting our first.
Dude,
it's exciting to talk about. We found out a couple months ago and then started telling people now, so my life will change quite a bit right before NHL 23 comes out.
I'm pumped, man. Super excited for you. Yes, yeah. You did let me know a little while ago. I'm excited for you, happy about it, and you're going to be a phenomenal dad. I got to say, though, I mean, you've just got a collection of stuff going on in that house because now you're going to have a baby. You also have Bella, and then you got a pig. You got Henry. So there's just a lot going on there.
Dude, there's a ton going on. It's kind of fun, though. Like, at any point, you know, yeah, in our day-to-day, there's always just, like, busyness in the house, and it feels like the emptiness in life, right?
Yeah.
There's never a quiet moment.
Let me ask you this. How old is Bella now, and is she entering, like, an annoying stage yet, or what?
Dude, she's gotten better, like, every day that we've had her. She was born in September, I think, so she's, what, like, 5 or 6 months old? She's like potty trained outside every now and then inside if we can't like get her outside, you know, if like we're doing something. But she's really good with that. We put her in the crate at night. She goes right in. She doesn't cry. She barks at like 7:30 a.m. to wake us up. But she's been really good. She's mellowed out a ton. She kind of stopped the biting mostly, just a little bit. But she's a really good dog. So I think whenever the baby gets here, both will be born in September. Bella will be a year old. You know, she'll be like a dog. She won't be a puppy anymore. So, and dude, she did something so impressive last night. So my brother-in-law came over. Okay. And we were all, my wife, me, Bella, were sitting on the chair. Henry was sitting right next to the chair. So we're all there as a family watching TV on a Saturday night at like 8 p.m. because we're boring. And then brother-in-law knocks on the door. Literally the first knock, Bella got up and started barking like somebody was breaking into the house. Okay? And we're like, okay, there's our guard dog. You know, we're good. We're good. We have somebody to protect the baby in 6 months, you know.
Some people get like annoyed at that. Like, dude, like, yeah, if someone knocks on my door, someone wakes up the neighborhood. And like, I'm completely okay with that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No one is breaking into my house. Cause especially if she's in her crate and you can just, someone comes into my house and you can hear her. Like, there's no one's gonna come into my house. So it is nice to have a guard dog.
Yeah. I think it's something you need, right?
Mm hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
What else did you do this weekend, bro?
Dude, we did nothing, man. I was off Friday. We had like employee appreciation. I don't know if it was like National Employee Appreciation Day or something, but we had off on Friday. So I streamed Hot Champs for 6 hours on Friday.
Longest stream ever, right?
Longest stream I've ever had. Mixed in some drinks with it. I don't know how CJ Cam Lance does it all the time, you know, because like as I was, the more I kept drinking, and I didn't even drink that much. I had like 3 or 4 beers. The more I kept drinking, the more I kept losing. And the game at that point is just not fun. You know, you're losing every game. You realize everything you hate about the game is just embellished a little bit more. So after that, I kind of took off, took a little break from NHL for a couple of days.
That's good, man. I mean, yeah, yeah. I don't know how Cammy does that because he just he powers through the Pink Whitney and just blows through Hot Champs.
Yeah, dude. But we've been outside of NHL though. We've been enjoying the. Have you ever tried like HelloFresh? Oh, excuse me.
I have not. But we'll talk about this in a second. But it's something that I've looked into.
Yeah, we have, dude, because it's like, are you guys getting hit by inflation like crazy up there too,
dude? So like, yeah, like we, I think I don't know if it's worse in the States, but because our stuff is already more expensive than you guys, our dollar obviously is worth less, right? So our stuff costs, so like a video game costs 80 for you guys, costs 100 for us, for example.
Yeah,
there's certain other things. That's a bad. I mean, that's just a blanket example, but like gas hit $2 a liter, which is $6 a gallon. And I lived in the States, and I don't think I've ever seen it anywhere close to that. And obviously, what's going on, you know, in Europe and whatnot, in Russia, in the Ukraine, that's severely impacting, you know, gas. And it's funny because once I think it's probably it's got to be the most impactful thing that can change everything in the world in terms of cost, because gas goes up, then any sort of transportation and import and export goes through the roof.
So they got to upcharge their things to make what they were making before.
Exactly. Yeah. So all of our food, anything costs quite a bit more, you know, in terms of just like groceries and things like that. Definitely, I don't know what's going to happen here because, again, this is a lot older version of the or part of the podcast, but talk about home ownership in Southern Ontario being one of the worst places in North America. I mean, I talk to you pretty regularly about it.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I like, so right now, people that are making, you know, a combined $120,000 as a household, like if, you know, a couple owns a home, 120 grand, they're getting mortgages for like 600K. So if you have the bare minimum down on that, that's like $2,500 a month just in your mortgage. Mm-hmm. If you have to now pay, you know, go from paying $200 every couple of weeks for gas to $400 for gas, and then everything you buy is more expensive, like at a certain point, something's got to happen. But yeah, inflation is just, it's absolutely wild.
Yeah, dude, it's been crazy because it's like, I don't drive really. Like I have a car, but working from home, I fill up my tank maybe like once a month. But with like my wife's car, it's like a 20, 21 gallon tank. She has like a 20, 21 Blazer. And it's like 80 to 90 to fill up every time. So it's like 360 a month, just add it up there. But on like the grocery thing, we were going to the store spending like 100, 150 a week. And we felt like we weren't even getting. Yeah, it's like normal, right? But like we weren't even getting anything. We were making stuff. And then it's also like the trip there. I don't know. So we started doing HelloFresh again, get the delivery to our house. And it's only like $70 or $80 for like 4 meals for the week, which isn't that bad. Because if you go out and eat at like the crappiest places, you're spending like $30. So we started doing that a few weeks ago. I've been enjoying it. You know, me and the wife are in the kitchen together cooking. I'm trying to follow the directions and I'm like messing it up. But it's also good like husband-wife time I found too. Just like cooking together, you know.
Yeah, I haven't thought about that.
Which is kind of lame, I guess.
No, 100%. I feel, me and Skylar are very opposite people, which is odd. I feel like a lot of people think that, like, you know, to have, like, a sexual relationship, well, now you got to be, you know, you got to have a lot in common. We are so opposite, but, like, we are very independent, so we don't need to, like, you know, this is weird. I don't know if you ever dated someone who is, like, if you want to go play games or watch a movie or something, like they need to be entertained so you can go and do that. Dude, it was the most, the person I was dating before Skylar was like that. And it was the most exhausting part of my life. But so like if she just reads at night and I'll just be like, I'll be chilling, playing like a game or watching hockey or something. So, but yeah, man, like I've wanted to try HelloFresh, but yeah, I've always been so what you just said there, I can't get past 4 meals, $70.
Yeah. So it's like that definitely does add up, right? Because if you're like somebody that's cheap, I'm not saying you're cheap, but you can go buy like a loaf of bread and make peanut butter and jelly or something. It's more of like the time savings for me. Like I don't have to go to the store, buy the groceries. And it's learning how to cook different things. I feel like I should be sponsored by them because I'm like trying to sell HelloFresh. There's like a billion of those, right? But it's kind of fun. You know, I don't know if we'd continue this forever, but it's still like we were going out to eat a lot, like if we didn't like what we had in the grocery or in the refrigerator. So this, it's like, okay, we paid $80 for this. We might as well make it, learning how to make different things. I made enchiladas tonight. They were pretty good. I don't know. That's just what's been going on.
Let me ask you this, though. It's not something like, because I would love that, but I would love it to be like every meal. It's not something you could use like where it's like multiple times a day.
There's like add-ons you can get.
But it's just got to be super expensive.
It has to be so expensive. And like, and the thing that sucks is you still have to cook it, right? So that's like still 30 to 40 minutes of cooking.
I guess that's true, yeah.
There was this company in Pittsburgh. I don't know what they're called, but they did actual like cooked meal deliveries. And then I think they were just like refrigerated where you just had to heat them up. And that was like a local thing. So I'm assuming there's probably one of those in like Niagara. Because we were thinking about that too, instead of like, I don't know how much lazier you can get than like not going to the store. But like, it's still, if it was still like finished, but I don't want to do like the frozen like TV dinners either.
Yeah, you know? I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Like, I'm not like a divorced like 45-year-old dad eating a Hungry Man's in an apartment, you know?
Dude. So I mean, it's a good segue though, because I've been talking about this over the last little while, especially on the stream, that I've been, something's not right with me health wise. So I went to the doctor, got my blood tested. I tested high for something in my liver. Then I went and got a test for my liver, and it came back that I had, I don't know the medical term, I don't know, but you could actually log into Life Labs and it'll show you the test. And then like, I couldn't understand it, but like it says ranges that you want and then like high or low or whatever. And this one particular thing I was tested for was really high. So my doctor called me and was like, I'm basically developing something called fatty liver disease, where my eating habits have been really bad over the last like couple months. I haven't wanted to go to the gym at all. I've been, the way I describe it to my friends and my wife is like, my gas tank can get to like 40%. Mm-hmm. So like, I wake up in the morning, I'm tired, sluggish, I have a coffee, and then like the first like 3 or 4 hours of my day, it's normal, and I can like bang out videos, I'm creative, and then, and even we're halfway through my streams, it's done. Like, I'm having to like slam back a coffee or you know, an energy drink or G Fuel or whatever, just to try and give me a little bit of a bump to get through like the next couple hours. And it's just been exhausting. So that's why. So I have to significantly change my eating habits, which is okay. I did that once in my life. For anyone that doesn't know, I've been following me. When I started streaming, I was the worst weight I'd ever been. I was like 216. I got all the way down right before my wedding, about 16 months later, like 149. I was under 10% body fat. And over the last like 3 years, I put it all back on, essentially. Yeah. So I know at least I've done it before, because if I hadn't done it before, then I'm very confident that I can just go and lose it, you know?
Yeah,
but this is a force to make me go and do it, because now this is like something that like, okay, I need to focus. So it is what it is. I'll be all right. But so like I can't, you know, one of the most fun things, or I haven't seen my friends in a while, and something that we've done. Actually, this is kind of interesting. I wonder if you guys have done, because you have a very tight knit group of friends as well. Mm-hmm. You ever played Risk Legacy?
I haven't. Dude, I don't even know how to play Risk. I've never played Risk before.
Oh, wait, yeah. What? Dude,
I know, right? It's surprising, because like, we have board games. We like weird board games, but we've never played Risk.
Man, that's stunning to me, because you strike me as someone who would really like Risk. Like, you'd be good at it.
Yeah.
But so me and my buddies have done it before. If anyone doesn't know what Risk Legacy is, it's a Risk board. But it's 15 games. So you can only play 15 games, and stuff that happens in each game impacts future games. So we started a new board. We've done two. I've never won. I've been with four of my other friends, same group. And we started again last night, and I won the first game, and I got to name a capital. And like, it's a little sticker, and you put it on wherever you want. I picked Australia because that's the smartest for anyone that likes Risk. So I'm the only one that can start there for the rest of the 15 games in that one specific territory. Mm-hmm. So like, and then as you go on, once everyone has won a game, there's like these secret little envelopes in the box, and it's like open when everyone has won one game. You rip that open, like new factions come in that you can choose, and it's wild. For anyone that has a group of friends that can actively get together, Risk Legacy is 100% the most fun. But anyways, I don't really see my friends very often anymore. It's just what happens when you get older. They all have kids. Our last person in our group just had his daughter, who's now like a couple months old, and I'm the only one without a kid now. And so it's very difficult to get together all the time. And so those are the only times I really drink. I don't drink on my own, really. I mean, Skyla's not a very big drinker, so I'm just a very casual drinker now. Yeah. And even that, I can't really do. So last night, my buddy, he finally gets a night away, and he's slamming him back, right, because he finally gets a night out of the house. And I understood. I was sitting there. I had two drinks. That was it, because I know I'm not really supposed – I can't really have anything to drink, which kind of sucks for my upcoming vacation. But, you know, I'm going to read a couple books. Sit on the beach.
Dude, I love rum and coke. Do you like reading on vacation? Because that's my favorite time to read. Like, I always bring like two books with me.
I haven't been on a vacation.
Yeah.
That wasn't work since like before I became interested in you know, reading a lot. So I bought The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck.
I read that one.
Yeah, I'm excited to read it. It came in the mail, so I'm going to read that on the beach, and I might grab something else too. But it'll be fun. But yeah, man. So that's all that's going on right now. Let's switch into Hockey Ultimate Team. New event happened. All right, new event happened. The trade deadline event. Crazy. Wasn't expecting that at all. You know, unfortunately, it was leaked, so we knew it was coming.
Yeah, caught me by surprise, huh?
Yeah. So. Sorry, I got a text. Let's go over the new master sets. We got five new masters. Let's talk about them. We'll rank them like we always do. I put my ranking video out. So let's start at number five. Who is your number five among the new trade deadline masters?
Jack Campbell.
Yep, I had Jack Campbell at number five as well. Who's your number four?
Number four I would like to talk about. Ray Bourque. I have him at number four.
Okay.
Do you have Ray Bourque at number four?
I have Anthony Duclair at number four.
Okay, fair enough. So Ray Bourque... I was thinking about whenever I saw this card, I was like, I might have to buy the card because he had silver truculence. And then he also had a gold ability. I'll save this, actually, because we'll talk about abilities.
Okay, so you got Reboot. Yeah, we're going to talk about this a little bit. We'll talk about
that. All right, number three, I had Duclair, right? So okay, we kind of had those flip-flopped.
Yeah, I had Duclair at number three.
Okay. Number two, Keith Yandel.
Yes. And the number one, Jeff Carter.
Yeah. Yep. Look at that.
That's the exact same. So I'll explain Duclair real quick. The reason why I have Duclair four, he's 99 everything. It's a great, all of these cards are good, guys. Any master that comes out now is good. So whenever we're talking about rankings, it's not that one card is, you know, bad. You know, I think that whenever I put someone low in a rank, they're like, man, how do you think that card's bad? It's like, dude, it's not bad. It's just, the reason for Duclair is, unfortunately, because of the leaks, we know we're getting Taylor Hall. Taylor Hall is 6'1". He's a very fast skater. He's going to essentially end up with 99 everything, more than likely, or very close to it. And that just completely diminishes the value of Duclair, who's 5'11", with the same thing, right? Not that size in the game is everything, but he's also, for a lot of players that could afford him, a lot of those players probably have Duchesne. And I don't know how many players you want that are smaller that fit that mold, because we're getting to that stage where every card that comes out is 99 overall.
Yeah, I was looking at that Duclair before we started recording, because I didn't really look at these in depth too much because I wasn't able to make any of them. I was going to hold off. And it's like the Duclair, literally 99 everything except like Acceler Speed will be like 98, I think. So it's just like at this point, the only difference in these cards is height and abilities, right? They're all going to be 99 everything.
Yeah, exactly.
So, kind of. I don't know if it's boring or not, but you know, it's that time of year.
Nope, absolutely. Yeah. Okay. No, absolutely. It's just everything's going to be like that. Like you know, we're just kind of getting that stage. Ray Bourque does look fun. Yandel. 6'1", 99 everything, basically. I think that he's a fine card, but I think we're getting close to that. Like, we know OEL is coming, slightly bigger, probably going to be 99 everything. That was leaked as well.
Maybe has better abilities, too, because I didn't think Yandel's abilities were good.
They were all awful.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were not good abilities. And then Carter is essentially a center version of Line A.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can play him at center, which I think gives you a lineup flexibility, and he's like 95 across the board. He's basically 2 inches shorter, but he can play everything. I think Carter is the only one out of this that I would consider making If you're trying to be a competitive player, you agree?
Yeah, I do agree with that. I think the other ones, you would like wait a week or wait, you know, until a lot more are pulled. And you can probably get like that if they're tradable, right? And get like a Bork for 400K. I can't see that being like a highly desired card. And he's a good card, right? That Duclair is like overvalued on the marketplace. And I don't know if it's because we're in March now, Sleeves. But if you want specific cards, it's nearly impossible to find certain cards in this game on the marketplace.
I think that has a lot to do with GWC.
Four consoles, and maybe less people playing now than compared to November.
100%. Like this is the problem with this now is that you are getting to the point now where there is just no one up. Like so, recently, you know, I've been tracking my stats and whatnot, and I have before we started recording. You scored DDDs all the time. I took over 140 shots in 30 games with my defenseman, and I scored 9 times.
Yes.
And I would say that two of them were on a breakaway with Coburn, who is oddly fast. Like I don't get it. It's got to be a stride thing or something that we'll get into, but my goodness, when he gets going, it's ridiculous. Mm. But yeah, so what I'm going to do is I'm just eliminating 1T and seeing eye. Because I had that activated on Coburn and Hedman. It's just not doing anything for me. I don't know what it is on one-timers. They're extremely simple. There's something that I'm not doing correctly. Part of me thinks it's my controller. The reason why I say that is because when I win a face-off cleanly, when I do a stick lift, okay, and I'm not touching the left stick at all, it goes right to my winger.
Yeah, dude, you're on PS5, PS5, right?
And
yeah,
the
controllers are awful.
I'm on my fifth controller, and I'm starting to wonder if that has anything to do with it, because there's times where I just it doesn't aim where I want it to. But the good news is that they took out the feature in the game to find out where you're aiming in instant replay. So
yeah,
just another great removal of a nice feature in this latest NHL.
There was something else interesting about the PS5 controller too that I do want to bring up just because we were on the topic. So NHL 22, we have the increase in interference penalties, right? If you're using like manual player switching to flick the stick over like using your right stick, and then it always like initiates a hit as well for some reason. And it didn't do that in NHL 21. But now people are playing with the PS5 controller this year. Last year, people were playing the PS4 version on PS5, and you could still use the PS4 version. The developers did say that they didn't make any adjustments to the game. I'll take that with a grain of salt, because sometimes I think if they don't make an adjustment, there could be like other issues that maybe make like a ghost adjustment to it. but one of their thoughts was that the left and right stick have higher sensitivities on the new gen controllers, and that's leading to these interference penalties now. I just wanted to throw that out there. I think the interference penalties in the game are awful, and it's inexcusable. It's terrible, but that was one of their thoughts. So
I want to bring up something that's come around the community recently. Thrash talks about this quite a bit all year round, is the manual tips. For anyone that doesn't know, basically the thought process is, while you're winding, so if you send a pass D to D, okay, and so you hit R2 or RT and you're passing the puck, and then you hit up on the stick, while you do that, before the puck gets to the defenseman or whatever player you're using, you hit RT again, and you will basically select the player that's in front of the net, and you can basically manually tip the puck. You're not hitting any buttons, but you're just selecting that player, and it's causing more tips. We tested it for about an hour and a half.
We did.
Does not do anything. So I went to Ben and I said, the gameplay developer VA, I said, hey, is this a thing? And he said, do you think it's a thing? And I said, no, we tested it for an hour and a half. It doesn't seem to do anything. He's like, correct. So unless he doesn't know, and wouldn't stun me sometimes, it does not do anything, and it's all in our heads.
Yeah, because we did. Because there was the way that people said, right, you press RT or R2 whenever you take the slap shot or the one-timer from the point, and you switch to the guy in front. Then I was, like, double flicking the right stick to also, like, maybe that does something. And I literally do think it's in people's head. I don't think it works. But there are other things in the game that do work that they, there aren't, you know, button combinations in the manual or whatever in the game, right? So I think the saucer pass with protect puck button does something. Do you think so too?
So weird flex here, because I'm not very elite at anything in this game anymore, but that's something I'm pretty elite at because it's all I've done the last like 2 years. So I never have to hit X, but there's been times where I've remembered to do it and I've never missed one.
Yeah, because I made a video on that. And I did mention that before I posted the video. I sent Ben Ross a message. I'm like, hey, I think this does something. I don't have any proof. There's no real way to test it in the game. But that's one I think I would stand by, because like Gren does it, Saphir does it. There's like a couple other people like that. And if they do something like, you know, it probably works, right?
Well, so part of me thinks anytime. So this is something that Ben actually alluded to in a video that I did with him like last year. Remember there was a video where
Josh Fearless one?
Yeah, where Ben literally went through gameplay of Josh Fearless and was giving the EA developer thing of it. That was one of my favorite videos. And props to Ben, because he literally went like, it was like a 2 hour thing. He went through every second of a game, two games from Josh, and gave me all the feedback. And I just threw it into a video. When you settle a puck, so let's say you get a wrist shot. Let's say a pass. Okay. You're skating down the ice and you aim towards the player you want to pass to, and you pass. If you hold the puck like out for a wrist shot, essentially, that's considered settling a puck. Mm-hmm. And then pass, it will be far cleaner and far more accurate. More drastic thing would be, let's say you're in front of a goaltender, okay, and you're trying to go backdoor, okay? You have a far better chance to score a goal and not have that goalie make the save. If you go for a wrist shot, so you make that flex with your stick, your goalie will think, he's about to shoot. And then you pass backdoor, it'll freeze the goalie enough to give you a much better chance at a one-timer. So there are things. So I'm wondering if when you hit X and you're holding down X, that technically gives your, it's like settling the puck like on the forehand.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if that's, it's just forcing you to do that. And it's the game is basically reading that it's settled, the puck is settled before you're doing it.
I think it's a combination of that and the AI defense and also the AI goaltender on the other team not treating the passer as a passing threat. Because there's something Junior Pens does, and I mentioned this to you too whenever we were doing like our extensive D2D testing, because we're two losers. Holding in protect puck before you pass to a defenseman for like a D2D or like a one-timer at the blue line, it seems to go in a little bit more. I didn't test it out, 100 or 1,000 times, because that just seems like a waste of time. But I think it's because whenever they see a forward holding in protect puck, they're not treating you as a threat to pass the puck.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they're reading it as like, okay, he's protecting the puck. He's going to hold on to it, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I said that the first time correctly, but they're not treating you as a threat to pass the puck.
Yeah, like that could make sense. Like I could see that being a thing in terms of that happening. Mm-hmm. What else do you want to talk about? Strides?
I want to talk about that ability first, though. Ray Bourque has the ability off the rush. It was his gold zone ability. It's only 6 points to activate. So the way the ability is described, it's like an increase to slap shot power and accuracy while skating, right? It doesn't say like, while skating only at this specific spot, whatever. It's just like while skating. So whenever I read that ability, I'm thinking like, as long as you're skating, like maybe with some momentum and then you take a slap shot, you'll have the increased power and accuracy. So before I bought the Ray Bourque card, cause I didn't want to spend like $500-$600K on the card, I went into practice mode. I put that ability on, I think, Malkin. It only activates at the blue line, and I think it only activates if it's the first shot you take within the possession inside the offensive zone. Like, hence the title,
that's technically
off
the rush.
But that's not in the wording, and I was so frustrated, right? So it's literally, like, in my opinion at least, the most useless ability in the game. Like, all alone might be better, because it's like as soon as you take like a shot in the offensive zone, I think it negates the ability to be used again. I could be wrong on that. And then it's also like the same like area that it activates is like Heatseeker, right?
But above the dots,
yeah, like above the face-off circles.
I guess it'd be below.
depending on which like angle you're viewing it from. But like in my mind, whenever I think of that ability, like I'm thinking of like Steve Yzerman in the playoffs that one year. I'm thinking of like Gretzky, like in the 80s, like, you know, just taking a slap shot and every goalie was bad. Like it should be like off the rush or while skating, and it doesn't really matter where you are in the offensive zone. So
if you skate
kind of
down the wing, if you skate down the wing and rip one right inside the blue line, does it activate?
Yes, it activates if you rip one right inside the blue line. And as long as you're, as long as you don't pass the top of the faceoff circles in the offensive zone.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like on a four, because I think Gretzky has that. But on a defenseman, it just that would not be. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think that would ever be useful.
I don't think it would be useful. Like, so the reason I was like intrigued by it was because I was running like two lefties on my first pairing. And I've been doing like a lot of D to D's. But once people cover that, if you just skate in with like a left-handed defenseman on the left side and rip like a slap shot like opposite corner, it goes in a lot, right? So I was thinking like if I have like even like an added bonus to that, maybe it'll go in more. But no, the ability doesn't really activate on those plays.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Let's talk, I guess, a little bit about, I mean, let's talk about GWC a little bit. So GWC is coming out this Wednesday. This is what we play for. Basically all year. So Hutt is just going to, this is where the cliff kind of happens after these next 2 weeks. But these next 2 weeks are very important for a lot of players. Basically, if you've never heard of the GW Gaming World Championship, it's NHL's biggest event. It's a $100,000 prize pool. Top 32 on each console week one. Very important this week because it starts Wednesday at midnight. You've got 25 games, works a lot like Hutt Champs. It's win-based. So if you go 25-0, you will be in the top 32. And that's important because this year they reseed, and you will be playing worse opponents the better that you finish, which is a good format change. So let's talk about best times to play. So a lot of people will... PS5, you're doomed.
Because, I mean, here's the thing. If you play in the morning or, like, early afternoon, you might match up with me. If you play at night, you're matching up against Gren and Regs, right?
Like, the PS5 guys, no exaggeration and no disrespect to the Xbox side of the community, PS5's depth is just absurd. I think Xbox might have the same amount of top-end players that have a chance to win GWC, but their depth dies off fast. And that's just because there's not nearly as many people on the console. PS5 is going to be a gong show. Now, if you want my opinion, the best time it would be 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Wednesday through Friday to try and get as many games in there. The kids are at school. You might get easier matchups. But that being said, you know, it really won't matter because, you know, there's going to be the 32 people that qualify in week one will be good. There's no way to say that they won't be good. Right. They will be good, great players. I think this year, with how the game plays, we are going to see players that we've never seen qualify for the GWC qualify, probably pretty high, which scares me. But when do you plan to play your games?
I'm going to try to fit them in at lunchtime for an hour, like Wednesday through Friday. I might even add some night streams like Thursday and Friday. And then like Saturday and Sunday, I'm going to stream for a bunch of like when I wake up to like early afternoon, I think.
You're going to have an easy time.
Dude, you say that, man. I still match like some of the good players that might not be like top five on PS5, but like top 20. Like, and the game's so random this year.
I don't mean because like what you match up with in Hutt Champs. I'm talking about if you stream your games, you will get reverse sniped.
I hope so.
You will get a lot of people that do not want to play you in GWC qualifiers. So nonetheless, you will qualify no matter what. I am not allowed to qualify, so that's pretty cool.
That's good.
You're lucky.
I am lucky. You know what? Yeah. Before we go on to the next GWC topic, whenever I stream and like I invite a friend through PS5, it has like the records on there. And it literally shows me versus you as like 8-0. And I have to remind people like we actually didn't even play games against each other.
We played twice, I think.
Yeah, and those are us just like testing out stupid stuff, but I think you're always the one that quits. So people are like, oh man, Sleeve sucks. Look at that 8-0. So
yeah. That is what it is. But yeah, that'll be good. Anything about GWC that you want to talk about specifically?
Yeah, dude. So what do we think will be the required wins to qualify in the top 32 for week one.
I went back and looked, and 21 appears to be. Last year was the same thing. It was the top 32, but there was 4 weeks because there was only two consoles. This time there's four.
Yeah.
I'm thinking 21 wins. Now, okay. the problem with this is that there's going to be regions, and because of how this game being server-based works, there is going to be a few representatives that might not have nearly as difficult of run. So anyone out in the West Coast, you guys are probably going to have an easier time because there just simply isn't as many top-end players. If you're in Southern Ontario, if you're where I live or in Toronto, that is the worst because your best server is QC. They ping 4 or 2 and you ping 22, and you have easily the biggest depth of talent in that connect to that server. So, you know, it's always impressive. The people that qualify on Ontario or even in Quebec, that you are a phenomenal player. But there are going to be some guys in the central region and the west region that you're going to see on there that just simply don't have the same, you know, talent requirement to get in there. That being said, I mean, I wish this was peer-to-peer. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because they switched from peer-to-peer to server-based. I mean, everyone in the community wanted to be peer. I remember that was a meme for so long. That was like the GM connected of like 2017, 2018. It's like, man, why can't we get dedicated servers? And how NHL plays in dedicated servers is just not enjoyable.
Yeah.
And it also separates an already small player base, whereas peer-to-peer, at least you get the same, you know, you get the same connection. You match up someone west, they're on 80 ping, so are you.
It's and not, the crazy thing 10. Is like those games you play on peer-to-peer with like 50 ping feel better than games you play on the server with like 20. I remember playing like against like John Wayne and stuff like maybe 2 years ago, and we'd be on like 80 or 90 ping and it felt pretty good.
It's crazy. And it's infuriating because in NHL 13 or whatever, the backup goalie thing came where you could switch to your backup goalie and it would kick people out. And they literally just went away from that because it would cause there was ways to desync the game. They don't have a fix for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like that's frustrating, but nonetheless, yeah, it'll be interesting. I'll be involved in terms of the broadcast for GWC, so it's gonna be really fun to cover it. And I love seeing new players step up. And I think this year, man, has there ever been a year where you play people that you have no idea, never heard of, that are just good?
Yeah, dude, it's the information age, like we talk about. Like everybody watches Twitch, everybody watches YouTube. And the game's gotten a little bit dumbed down, right? But there's so many good players this year.
Yeah, there is so many fewer, I hate the term glitches, glitch goals, but there's very few glitch setups and things like that in the game.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like there's this certain crew that's just in the know. It's like there really isn't a lot to know, right? So everyone is just kind of on the same level, essentially, and it's whoever's goalie doesn't go absolutely bananas, which...
And it frustrates me so much, man. It really does. I'm telling you right now, Gren and Regs are not going to win this year just because of how random the game is. It's the goalies are too good.
They are, and there's a lot of, the interference penalties.
Yeah.
Those are going to be... The random bounce off the boards.
Yeah, your player just won't pick up the puck, even though it's right between his feet or something. And then the other guy picks it up and just skates out in front and scores. Yeah, it's going to be a gong show, right?
It will be pretty messed up. Let's talk about, I wanted to talk quickly about some strategies for people building their team. So this Wednesday at midnight is when GWC starts. It's the first week. You have until the Sunday to finish your 25 games and hopefully get top 32. If you don't get top 32, there's one more week that starts the following Wednesday. And then after that, there's 64 people on each of the four consoles left that in the running for GWC, and there's a 2 week break. Sorry, I'm so tired. This is a downfall of the problem that's going on. I'm trying to.
I was laughing whenever you said you were so tired. Then you're like, oh, the problem going on. Then I felt bad.
It's all good, dude. It's all good. And I keep losing my train of thought. There's four consoles. There'll be 64 people left on each console. And then there's 2 weeks. There's 2 weeks at the beginning of April. So it's not until April 9th. That's when the round of 64 happens. And you're still using your HUT team. So after that last March qualifier, which I believe ends March 29th, there is just no need. You will see the market become saturated with people selling stuff at really low prices because a lot of the people are going to stop playing the game.
Yeah.
And that coinciding with MLB's launch, I can't even remember a time that's legitimately a line in the sand that's like, that's the end of NHL, the NHL season. Because usually it's the GWC, because GWC starts and it goes on for a lot longer. This is only 2-week qualifiers. It's not 4 weeks, which would be a month, right? So everyone's got to stay in the game a little bit longer. But those 64 people, you know, you have to get into the 64. So a lot of people are like, do I save stuff for Team of the Season? Because Team of the Season is going to come out in April. Here's my, I was talking with Daddy Padre, who we bring on up quite a bit in this podcast, because he is just so, he is so hyper-focused on, like, the nitpicking of his team, and I respect it, but man, it's stressful. So he's always talking about his team, and my thinking is this, you have to get as high as you can in week one. That is going to give you a significant advantage.
Yes.
Team of the Season will not happen until about the third week of April. So it'll happen after that round of 64 and the round of 6 and the round of 32.
And so, then after that, are you done using your team?
I believe you have one more round, I think, after that. But even if you're not, you know, the amount of people trying to buy these cards, there just won't be the prices won't be as high because the demand is so low, right? So I'm telling anyone that's trying to compete for the GWC, don't save your coins. You need to build the best possible team you can right now so that you can help yourself get to as high as you can. Because if you wait, you're potentially giving yourself a much harder matchup in the round of 64 and round of 32. I don't know if you feel the same, but it's just
I feel the exact same way. Like I'm kind of putting a lot of pressure on myself this week. Because if I can have like an undefeated week, right, in these GWC qualifiers, that I'm already assuming Gren's going to go 25-0 or close to it. I'm assuming Rick is going to – what's that?
Well, with Gren's location, like it would be pretty – Yeah.
So like if I want to avoid those players maybe until like the last round or second to last round, I need to play really well this week. So I'm going to try to – you know, I think I have like 1.2 million coins. I have to see what else I can do to make my team a little bit better, but it's already pretty good.
Yeah, like I said, guys, so like Team of the Season – It's going to happen later this year than normal because the season goes to the end of April. I don't think a lot of people realize that. So the game is going to be at its lowest. Like, it's a very awkward Team of the Season range. Like, because it's going to be almost May, and the interest in the game is going to be very low. In terms of GWC, I would be buying as much as you can. Also want to talk about some abilities and things like that. I am now, because of my lack of offense from the blue line, right? And I think a lot of people share that same thing, that they just can't score D to Ds, right? Some people can, some people can't. Again, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's maybe my controller, which legitimately could, because D to Ds is not a science. You know, like there's things that you can do to improve it, but there's not, it is not like, you know, so if you've guys in front, you rip a one timer and aim bottom right or bottom left, depending on where you're shooting from. And it's just not going in for me. So I am getting rid of all those abilities. Shutdown is one that I don't think is as necessary anymore because everyone has 99 stick checking and there's big defensemen. I think people were using that as a crutch. I think the only added benefit is you just don't get a penalty as much.
Yeah, that and like the increase to like hitting, right? It was like almost like a minor truculence ability.
Yeah.
On the rush.
What I've come to realize is that I don't really check at all. Like, I don't get very many hits in a game at all. And what I do is I bump a lot in the offensive zone or defensive zone. And sometimes I just, because everyone is 99 balance now, I'm struggling with it. Especially if you have Adam Fox, someone like that. I am all about truculence. And I think that if you go a full defensive core with truculence, you are going to give yourself a really good advantage because what you're competing against for GWC specifically, and even if you're playing rivals and you're getting into the higher things, the higher divisions, everyone is very good at protecting the puck and possessing the puck. Bumping players off is really the best way to do it because you're very rarely going to be able to line someone up for a hit because they can just pay attention and they know how to get away. I think that truculence is one of the most useful abilities. And so I went out and I bought Holzer. I haven't used him yet, but I went out and bought Holzer. I was trying to find Chychrun, but of course, because there's nothing on the market ever, I just can't find him.
Mm-hmm.
But he's someone I want to try. Even Bork, I'm okay with. I kind of want to give a shot too. But yeah, I'm looking for anything with truculence. What about you in terms of abilities? Like, what are your thoughts?
I agree with you on the truculence thing. I actually added Cal Foot to my team today because he had truculence, and then he also had Thunderclap, which I was like, I might use it. So for me, it's all about the 1T ability on Werenski and Coburn. And then after that, like, I think you have to have a goalie ability activated. Whether it's post to post, I would lean towards that. I have Pekka, so he has light work. So that has to be activated. Then after that, truculence. And then I think like one center with quick draw. I don't think a lot of the other ones do anything, right? So like tape to tape, how much does that help whenever your players have 99 passing? Most of the shooting abilities aren't good. I was using close quarters for a bit, but even then, like the goalies were still making like miraculous saves. So I think that one's good, but I think you have to focus on, I know you're not doing it, but I think you have to focus on D to Ds and then hitting with truculence.
Yeah, like I'm not saying that D to Ds aren't important. I think that if you, I've now been so into like the stat thing that I'm doing just because I was bored of Hutt. But like, I think that it can really tell you a lot about your play style. And instead of just trying to do the blanket, you know, what you think that the game or how the game is supposed to be played by the top end players, I don't think that is the best way anymore, because no matter what, you know, there's a reason why everyone has different strategies.
Yeah,
like there is a reason why if Gren tells you his strategies, while they might be amazing for Gren, they might not be amazing for you. Right. That's why, I mean, Regs uses the default strats that you load into the game with. Like, it's absurd. Right. So it's not like about the strategies. It's about how you play. So you have to be putting the players and things into your lineup that help you the most. If I'm taking shots of my defenseman, which I really don't do anymore, and they're just not going in, that's just wasted possession. So I'm just I'm just completely ignoring it. And trying something else out. Close quarters, I've noticed close quarters with Primo specifically, one of the ones, so the partial breakaway you go backhand, forehand, upstairs, you can do it with close quarters really far out.
Yeah, you can.
So I think, but it's very hard to quantify what close quarters does. Like that would, you know, but it seems like something that I think is really good. I agree. You need one center with gold quick draw because you need to have that. Okay, I need to win this draw, and it's an animation one. It makes it actually makes your stick go faster when you're pulling back. And in the defensive zone, as long as you don't do the opposite counter, you're gonna win.
Yeah.
So you do need one center. I still think Jokinen is probably the best, but there's many other options. I mean, Jared McCann would be fine if you have the 99. But Jokinen is probably the most obtainable that would have it, I would think. And then, yeah, I think truculence is really important. You mentioned post-to-post and light work. I'm glad you brought that up. So yeah. I've used Pekka Rinne for all 60 of the games I tracked. The first 30, he had just light work on. He had an 81% save percentage or an 80.5% save percentage. I went 16-14. The second 30, I made all my lineup decisions or changes as well. I went 23-7 in Division 1 in Hutt Champs, which was obviously a marketed improvement over those 30 games. I also turned on post to post, and his save percentage went back to 84.
Okay, so you convinced me, because like whenever you have like silver post to post or a silver ability on, you know, it doesn't light up, right? So you can't see whenever it does anything. But I've been going back and forth, like, do I want to use light work with that and put 10 points on him? So I think I'm going to try it. Maybe I'll try it for GWC qualifiers. Because
I don't want to use it. I don't want to use it on a goalie.
10 points, that, right?
It's not like, so the reason is. You almost need to use it because it is by far still, even with the AP cost changes, the reason why they are more expensive is because it is the most impactful X factor. If a goaltender does not have it, they are just simply not nearly as exceptional at stopping the shots that should go in. Whereas like the shooting ones are hard to quantify. Maybe 1T is probably the only one because you can hear it and you can visibly see it. And even, I mean, Shock and Awe is as well. Like, Shock and Awe looks like a laser beam. Like, it's an arcade.
Yeah, and it's really good. It's just hard in those games to get the time and space to get that shot off.
Yeah.
And I think that's the issue of, like, NHL 22. It's really hard to get time and space. Yeah.
We're going to go off topic here a little bit.
Let's do it.
Give me something in the gameplay that you, give me your top three fixes that you want to see for gameplay next year.
Passing.
Okay, give me an example. What do you mean by passing?
Dude, you first off, even whenever you aim correctly at a player, right, sometimes it just doesn't go there because the player's like fatigued or something. Puck pickups and puck reception, right? If I pass to somebody, sometimes they just do like this long, like drawn out pass reception like animation, and it goes right through them. If you have two people in a direct line of sight from the passer, it'll go through the middle player, even though you intend to pass to him. And it'll go to the player further, causing a turnover. Nearly impossible to pass backwards. It seems like there's no pass assist at all if you pass backwards.
There's no tracking. Yeah.
Yeah, and then the players that are supposed to receive it don't even go for the puck, right?
Breakaway. Or
yeah, and I just think – I think that's the biggest reason why I don't like NHL 22 right now is because there's no flow to the game because the passes – and I'm good at passing it, right? Like you see, you know, you watch me play, like I pass the puck a ton. But like one small mishap from the game ruins a possession, right? So there's no flow to the game. So passing's the biggest one. I think goalies are too good. And I think abilities ruined the game too. So goalies are too good, and I don't like abilities in NHL 22. So I don't know what my like other biggest one is. I think we had like five like a week or two ago, but I forget what they are.
Yeah, I agree with you on the passing. It's so, yeah. I don't know. It's like, did they do the Mario Lemieux in the Olympics? Like the between the legs, like, oh, they're trying to go between the legs to the far guy. That is, you're right. You're right about the flow. I'm wondering, again, I'm not, spoiler alert, guys, in Game Changer meetings, I really don't give my opinion anymore. I learned my lesson. So if anyone thinks that I'm ruining the game or what my opinions, I legit just don't give them very much anymore, or at least right now. So I'm not going to be pushing for this, but this is just something that I see. You know, like, did you like the passing from the last decade where it was automatic?
So I did, right? I did. But I think that they had good intentions in making it skill based, right?
Yes.
More manual aim. I just don't think it was implemented correctly. Because it's fine if you aim wrong and the pass doesn't get there, that's okay. But it's just whenever there's like just AI mishaps that cause like a pass not getting there, that's when it's frustrating.
Yeah, you know? Like if you could pass back to the point or backwards confidently. Yeah. That would infinitely improve, I think, just because like going backwards on a breakout is just like super important, especially when you're
it
playing.
Is in these games. It is, especially as we play like GWC. You can't just charge right ahead, right? People are so good defensively. You have to go east and west a lot. And in this game, it's like impossible. That and apparently the hardest pass to make as a professional hockey player is to a player 2 feet away from you. Mm-hmm. Right. You can't do it in this game. If you're on like a, you know, gaining like the blue line for an offensive zone possession and there's a forward 2 feet away from you, you can't pass to the guy. The game just doesn't recognize it. So
I
passing needs a huge overhaul.
And then I think that the stick physics, well, I think that it will eventually be super impactful in a very good way. I think that, it, again, good intentions. But what is now happening is two players go to a loose puck and it looks like the big wacky inflatable tube men, like where they're just like, like, you know what I mean? And it, like, I have a clip in a TikTok, guys, where it is the biggest joke where they literally try to kick the puck to themselves five times each. And I'm like sitting there like, is someone going to pick up this puck? Finally, my opponent does. And he just walks in for a goal in overtime. And I literally stood there stunned. And I was like, this is the ugliest. It's why I say the game is clunky. Because when two players get together, because the stick is a separate layer, they can't like get it. In the past, what would happen is someone would pick up the puck and maybe it would go through your shin pad or whatever. But then your player would receive an invisible like debuff, if that makes sense. So like it was explained by Ben. So like if your stick was going through the boards and you could see that, right? Your pass that you then make a second later might be way off because you shouldn't have that puck. Mm-hmm. Right. So it takes a second. It's like they need that. I don't know, but it definitely, again, it's same thing. It just ruins the flow. And it's, you know, when you get in tight with someone, I don't know, you know, and then abilities. Honestly, if they didn't add abilities this year, I mean, the game is just so empty as it is. Like there's nothing.
I mean, what else would there have been added? Right. Because it's like the what is it? Alternate reality, like interface.
They added it back.
They added them back into the game this week. Right. But it still shows the wrong stats. So, yeah, I guess there were no changes besides the abilities. I don't unless I'm forgetting certain things.
No,
but I just don't like the abilities in NHL. I hate that, like, you have like close quarters, right? So you have to activate that in order to score the chances 2 feet from the net that should already go in. D to Ds, you have to have one T activated to score on these for some that should probably go in every now and then. Like, I don't know. There's a lot of frustration from me on this whole X factor thing.
I think one of the things as well, you always have it through a competitive lens.
Yeah.
But I'll take it from a more casual standpoint. I think that the NHL video game has always been so awful at describing what stuff does in a game. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, a lot of people don't know if you hold down L2 and like X, you'll spin the opposite way, for example. Like, no one knows that. And it's like not in game. Like, you don't know like that is a thing. And abilities, while they have descriptions, a lot of them don't make sense, and you can't quantify what they do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, the all-alone one, it's, like, power and accuracy on a breakaway. You know, like, does that mean I can pick a corner?
Like, what is that? Like, is that, like, a 5% increase? Does it go past 99?
What should I be doing differently?
Yeah, nothing's described. And that was, like, we had that epiphany, like, 4 months ago, maybe. We were in the Game Changer chat. And I think it might have been Ben Ross that mentioned if you hold in like R2 and then you click in the right stick, it goes to the last back defender. And you were like, wait, really? And it's like, that is not on the game. They don't tell you like that that's a thing.
Yeah. That was in that interview.
Interview. Okay.
And he mentioned it. And everyone in chat's like, wait, what?
Okay. That's right.
Yeah. So, guys, if you hold down R2, and then, like, the player switch button in the defensive zone, and you click in R3, you will go to the closest player in front of your net. Yeah. Which is, like, a pretty big advantage, or, like, a very good mechanic in the game, defensively. Especially if you're struggling, you know, covering the one-timer, or the slot and whatnot. So, yeah, like, those things just aren't explained. And we've had the same strategy since 2004, no exaggeration. So,
yeah. You
know, they add in and they're doing these things to dramatically try and change the game. But if you're playing a 1v1 game, there is 5 AIs on the ice. You are you're the one directly responsible for the goals because you're the one controlling it. But all of the things leading up to those goals are directly because of these 3 strategies. And it's only 3 of them. And I think that if they change those dramatically, let's say they have those 3, but they also add in 3 more, the game is going to change a lot more than any other feature, like defensive skill stick or the stick in physics or the height, whatever the hyper motion, whatever nonsense like that. Yeah. Like, I think that it's been overlooked for so long that the strategies are going to significantly change the way this game is played. Yeah. And I hope that they, you know, start to look at that, because I make this joke all the time when I do that stream every year where I go through all 20 or 30 NHL games, and there's literally a video in NHL 04 of Mark Crawford going through the behind the net, crash the net, and overload and showing you how to do it. I'm just like, guys, it's almost 20 years. Like, I there's no excuse for that. I don't know. It's like, they're fine. We'll just move on to the next thing, you know?
Yeah. And at its core, these are things that should have been added, right? So we have like the last 18 years of games that we've had things added to the game and then taking out, like draft champs. I mean, I think what is it? World of Chell Ones. What's the mode called?
Oh, Ones.
Yeah, that was added. Like, I know that's still in the game. Like, Rush. There's been so many things added, but like strategies at its core is something that should be like improved every year alongside core gameplay mechanics. And there's been no change.
Nope. I agree, man.
Yeah. So, did you have any more? Or
no.
Okay. There's been a lot of talk again about the R1 plus triangle thing, like, well after you had said it like a month or two ago and somebody brought it up to you. And I don't know what caused it, but there's like a lot of people like asking in my Discord and stuff like, oh, are you going to make a video on it? Or like, what do you think of this? Like, whatever. I still don't use it. Do you?
Okay. So someone in my chat said, do you use LR1 and triangle? And I was like, no. And then I used it and I was like, oh my God, this is why all of these kids in Division 1 are able to get the puck behind me while doing a rush and not take a penalty and knock the puck free. What it seemed to do is cause, like, if it got near the puck, it wouldn't give you a penalty and it would give the puck some incidental contact and basically stop it. So, like, you would just skate past it, right? And you wouldn't get a penalty. I used it for about a week, and then that gameplay patch that came out that broke everything, that they had to like revert, like broke the augmented reality, whatever. Ever since then, I don't notice it at all. And like Polgs has said the same thing. Like, there is, it's like it's gone.
Yeah.
And they didn't talk about it at all. in the game change chat. Like, and leading up into that, Ben was like, this isn't a thing. It's in your head. And I'm like, okay, maybe. But when I was using it, those few games, like those that week where I learned about it and was using it, I was like, this is cool. I'm literally just holding down R1 and triangle and I'm getting the puck every single time. And now it's like, I don't at all.
I still don't think it's a thing, and I haven't used it since like the first time. But I didn't understand why that gained traction again, you know, like now that's the scapegoat. Like if somebody loses a game, it's like, oh, this person must be using this on defense. And they're like, it auto aims the poke, right? But the pokes are already auto aimed, you know? Yeah.
When you hit R1, if you have 99 poke checking, the puck, the stick will go right to where the puck is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's one more thing. So tell me about you and Padre talk this week, I think. And then also tantalizing about custom strides in NHL 22. So what did you learn?
Okay. Yeah. So Padre, every morning I go and I chill in his Discord because it's all guys like 30 years old. And we just, you know, shoot the shit for the morning while I'm making videos. And he was talking about how he went through every NHL player, or for the most part, all the big ones, and was seeing if anyone had custom strides. So you can go into the roster and load the offline or the online rosters. And if you go into their behavior, you can see their shot and their stride, like their skating stride. And almost like 99% of NHL, well, a little over 99%, have 50-50 and hustle style one. It's exactly the same for every player. And when you look at it, it just is your simple, your normal stride. There was four players that he found in the NHL that were far different. Like the sliders are all over the place. Some have hustle style two, some have hustle style three. And what was funny is that among those players, a few of them, you can see in game this year that they are significantly better than prior years. So I'm going to use one as an example. Nathan MacKinnon has one. And I have been a big hater of Nathan MacKinnon's cards in the past because even though they're always among the best in terms of attributes, they've always felt awful to me and super mediocre. And Ecky, when I went to Orlando and I was hanging out with Ecky for a little while, I had mentioned, you know, MacKinnon feels a little bit different. He's like, he agreed. He said this year there's something different about MacKinnon because he said the same thing, that every year he feels awfully flat. He doesn't feel exceptional at all. And he has a very, very custom stride. It's very different. Connor McDavid is another one. And again, we always say that he feels faster than every other card, even if everything's at 99. There's something about him. The other two are kind of interesting. One is Jack Eichel. And when Jack Eichel's X Factor got up to 92, I believe, his X Factor was one of the best. And even now, it still holds up. I think he needs a couple upgrades now because now you're starting to see cards that have like 4 or 5 speed more. But again, same situation. He's got a custom stride and it looks hilarious. If you guys want to watch my video, I have it on there. I show the example of his skating and he's like skating straight up. It looks absurd. And it's totally not like what he does in real life. But nonetheless, like he feels very fast. And the other one is Panarin. The problem with Panarin is I've never used him in Hockey Ultimate Team because he's just, I can't use really small players. Not because I don't find them useful. It's when you play Division One or like you get to the, you know, in the 12 to 15 winner above range, using those players becomes very difficult because you get knocked off the puck. Everyone plays good defense. So I haven't used him in a while, but he was the other one. So there was four. And I don't know if it's in our heads, but there's something about them. And what's funny is their free arm, when they're hustling with the puck, it like goes out and extends further. And it's like it blocks a player coming from behind you.
Yeah.
Like where you would hold protect puck, it like automatically does it. And I don't know if that's what it's doing, but it was definitely very interesting. What did you think about it?
Yeah. So after you guys said that, I was like, okay, I bought Nathan MacKinnon's X Factor and fully upgraded him because I felt like I needed a little bit of speed in my lineup. But there was like a play that stood out with MacKinnon. I had the puck like right as soon as I entered the offensive zone, like the top left blue line. And I was getting bumped by Hedman. He completely shielded that off, turned around, and then I got like a breakaway with him. And he's only 6 foot tall. That shouldn't happen. Like I should get bumped by Hedman. And it looked like kind of janky when that was happening. Like he had that free arm.
Yeah.
So I think that there is something to it where they do have like, I don't know if it's an increased like, you know, balance whenever you use those players or what. but the custom stride thing does seem to work. And it sucks that it's only on like four players.
Dude, people ask me that.
There's nobody, there's four options you have. Like I don't know.
You want to know what my theory on it is?
Let's hear it.
All right, dude. My theory, because people are like, dude, why are on these guys and not like, you know, some of the other ones, even the alumni? It's like, I guarantee you. They were like, yeah, let's give these guys custom strides. Let's go in. They got through four players. Like, this is going to take way too long. And they just didn't reset those guys.
Yeah.
Because there's no rhyme or reason.
True.
Like, that's what I think. I think they started doing them. Maybe they were doing them for X Factors. And they just gave up because, like, this is going to take too long. And they just left those four in the game. I haven't gone through European players. So if anyone wants to undertake that, go through and just go through the online rosters and see if you go to behavior. I'm going to do it with shots, too. Everyone talks about Austin Matthews' shot feeling different. And I know he has a custom shot. So there could be something there as well. So, but I'm going to do that this week. But, yeah, the skating one, I don't know. It's definitely weird. It's definitely weird.
Yeah, it is. Before we close out today, do you have any dark horses for GWC? Anybody you think that can surprise people?
Yeah, I think last year I was pretty bang on. I remember when I did the team reps, because last year you could see who was going to be playing for each team. I think I went like 26 for 32. I was impressed at myself. So I like this year, the skill gap in this game is very minimal, to the point where it's like the elite and then there's a massive drop, but then everyone in that drop of like, and I'm talking like there's five players that are amazingly elite, like that, like Polgs, Gren, Jost would be another one. I would say that you're close to it. I just don't.
So here's the thing. I wouldn't even say I'm like them. I think I could beat them in a best of three. I'm going to put myself right at that tier below. Like, I think where I finished last year and who I beat last year was a pretty accurate representation, where, you know, almost beat Gren, but I think I'm like right there where I could steal a series against those guys and win it all. But, definitely not like Regs or Jost. I'm not going to say I'm not like Jost, cause I've never played him. I'm not like Regs or Gren. Right.
They just have great vision, but they're like, their mechanics are insane. Whereas I think what you're very good at is the mechanics of strategies in the game. Mm-hmm. And then utilizing the things that are available to you. Very Bill Belichick-esque.
That's why they call me Bill Belichick. You know that, right?
Oh, my God. But those guys, like, there is, like, when you watch Polgs compete, there's goals and things that he does that are not able to be done by a large portion of the player base, which is what, so it's very difficult to choose a dark horse. I would say Aves has, like, leveled up this year. I think Geimer has leveled up this year. Where, you know, he was already a rep for a team, but I think that he is legitimate shot to make at least to Montreal. I don't know, man. Like, I what about you? Do you have someone that you have in mind?
I think there's like 20 to 50 people that could knock off Polgs, Gren, Regs, Jost, like those guys. Miso Trippy last year.
Yeah,
I was scrimming against him a lot leading up to GWC. He was like a top 5 to 10 player in the world of me last year. And then I don't know if he choked. I know he had a little bit of bad luck last year. This year I've been playing him again. Last year I stole some of his offense leading up to GWC, and it helped me out so much. I played him again this past week, and he was doing things that other people don't. So I'm like adding that to my game. So I think if he limits the scrims against other top players, he can catch people by surprise with how he plays. And go pretty far. Like, he's a really good player that probably doesn't get the respect he deserves. But then again, that doesn't happen until you win a tournament, right? So
that's what I'm saying. Like, in this game, because of how, like, in the last minute of periods, if you're trailing, like, anything goes in, closing out a game, is that a thing?
Because I think it's a thing.
Bro, it has to be. Has to be. Because a shot from the point won't go in at all. But then, like, in the last minute, like, you will... stuff will happen. Like, I think they artificially make it so that it's more exciting. But the players that haven't won anything, even if they're exceptionally good, have a really hard time closing games out because they're just trying to hold on. And I'm not saying that Meso's like that, but I watched him and he definitely should have won the games that he was knocked out in. And until you do it once, it's like it's tough to bet on that person.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, until they've won something, like Pogues this year, when he beat Regs in the Caps 1v1 event, like that was like, oh, okay, all right, he won an event, like that's it. Then he went and won Tampa, then he went and won a Sixes event. It's like, once you've won once, then you know that you can hold on and you can close out. Because something in this game, man, like, you know, I get it's just a video game, but man, when you are nervous playing this game, it's harder to break the puck out. It's harder to, you know,
you second guess yourself. You do things that you normally wouldn't do, right? Like, whenever you're playing comfortable, you make it all, like, you're scared to take risks, right? If you're playing nervous, but if you're playing comfortable, you'll take those risks, score more goals, do whatever.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It'll be an interesting year.
Defense is so easy this year that it is going to be, I'll be broadcasting the event. So I'm excited for the event, but I think that there is going to be situations where the best players don't win quite a bit.
I just hope you, if you're on the broadcast, I hope you accurately, do whatever you can do within the limitations of, you know, staying professional.
I'm all about new players coming in and winning, though. Like, that's my favorite thing. Like, I love in esports watching kids like Saphir and Geimer and, you know, guys that I used to just, they were Hut heroes and I would just match up with them playing Hut. And every once in a while I could steal a game and now they're like becoming some of the game's best. Like, I love that about this game. And that's why I really love esports of this. Like, that's why I cover almost every event that I can. But I think that, it's going to be, like I said, defense has just never been easier. So, it'll be interesting, but good luck to you guys that are, everyone starting out this Wednesday at midnight. Let us know how you guys do. I hope that, we see some surprises, but good luck in your games. And, I think that's it, brother. We good?
That is it, man. We'll recap it next week. We'll see how things go.
Good luck in your games, brother.
Yeah, I need it, man. I'm going between zero confidence and all the confidence in the world. Like, it's just, I don't know. It's every game's different.
If you lose one early, you're going to be mad. Like, dude, if you lose.
I know. That's what I was like whenever I was streaming on Friday. It was like every game, I'm like, man, this game sucks. And I never just say that outright because I try to be an adult, but we'll see what happens.
All right, guys, thank you for watching episode 24, and we will see you next week. Have a good one.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.